Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, Chase stood solemnly with the small crowd gathered at the graveside for his brother's funeral. Batman hadn't had left the world exactly as he had come into it, except that he was dead and all dressed up, as opposed to naked and screaming his head off. Chase was deep in thought. Had his brother really been totally evil? Is anyone just one thing? Yes, he would relentlessly pursue control of all mankind, and he proved he could easily kill to satisfy his own lust. But on the other hand, he sure did like cats. Maybe there was more to Bat than he knew. At the proper time, Chase threw a handful of dirt on his brother's coffin. Then, unexpectedly, he gave the casket a hard kick. Everyone gasped as they heard the body inside roll over. Chase smiled demurely. Walking back slowly to the car, hand in hand, Rebecca and Chase were first approached by Wanda. She hugged Rebecca about a minute too long and then turned to them both. "I'm so sorry you were put through so much pain. If only I..." She was interrupted by the fast-talking Alaric Mack, who strolled up on them like they were all old friends.
"Yo, Romeo and Juliet," he hollered sarcastically. "Aren't you two lovebirds forgetting something? That puppy your woman's gonna pop out happens to be mine."
Chase turned on his heels and stared hatefully at the unsavory lawyer.
"How could you do that to a woman when she was passed out, you slime bag?"
"Hey, calm down, cuz. I know she wanted me just as much as I wanted her."
Chase's face reddened. "And how did you know that?"
"Ah, simple," said Mac. "She didn't spray me with mace."
Chase reared back to slug the tacky lawyer, but Rebecca grabbed his arm. Mac started again.
"All right, Chase, let's get down to it, my brother. I ain't got no problem that you pretend this little love child's yours. But you and I both know I'm that baby daddy. So I'm gonna need about $2 million to keep my big mouth shut. You wanna write me a check right here? It would sure be convenient, because there's a check cashing place right down the street."
Before Chase could respond, Detective Story had arrived and had positioned himself between Mac and Chase. Story jumped in.
Before you go spending that money, Mac, maybe you should take a look at these."
He pulled out three crystal clear 8x10s of a striking black woman. Wanda zeroed in on the pictures.
"Oh, she's gorgeous," she said.
"She looked familiar?"
Story asked. Chase and Rebecca recognized the face, but they couldn't quite place it. Mac, however, didn't have the same problem. He dropped to his knees and began begging Detective Story.
"Oh, look, dog,"
Mac pleaded.
"Don't tell him nothing. I'll make you a rich man. I'll do anything you say."
"Save it, Mac," Story demanded. "The woman in these photos is one Allison Mack. She was a manicurist at the Wong Ping Chong Ding Chang Nail Studio until one day she took off for Costa Rica. She never came back. Instead, the new and improved Allison came back with a little extra equipment. She started calling herself Alaric."
Mac covered his face in shame. Wanda showed a new interest in Mac and placed her chunky arm around him and squeezed him tightly. Mac began to sob.
"Oh, I'm so sorry, y'all. Truth is, I never touched Rebecca. I just wanted everyone to believe I was really a man. Is that so wrong? Is what I did so wrong?"
He sobbed wildly and fell to his knees. Wanda let Mac bury his head in her chest. She spoke. "He just needs a little time with me," she said softly. "With me, he can be herself." She pulled him away from the group. Back at the hospital, Dr. Quentin Pepper sat alone in a dimly lit lab staring into a microscope. He smiled to himself over the facts he would never share. His plan had worked brilliantly. Unbeknownst to anyone, he had spent his life gathering DNA samples of the world's most brilliant people: Einstein, Whitman, Edison, Churchill, Saget. He had delicately intertwined the samples into one pristine, perfect egg. Then, when he found the perfect carrier, he discreetly injected it into Rebecca just after her surgery. No one suspected a thing, and now she was going to produce a child more perfect than even Macaulay Culkin, a child that would pioneer the new superclass of the human race, and he would get all the credit. Dr. Pepper smiled smugly again, then picked up the lab phone and dialed. "Hello, Chase. It's Dr. Quentin Pepper here. Listen, I know you guys have been through a lot these past few days." Yeah, sure. "Well, I'm just calling to offer, it would be my privilege if I could be Rebecca's doctor during her pregnancy."
"I'll tell you, Chase, nothing would make me prouder than delivering your child. I'm sure he's going to be very special."
Dr. Quentin Pepper hung up the phone, stood up, and laughed.
A laugh that echoed through the lab and down the halls of the hospital, out the doors and into the streets. A laugh so evil, it brought chills to the wind. A laugh that stopped just short of the front door of the happiest couple on earth.